Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kendall Roden, Cynthia Krang, Kale Teeter, Evan Vasilik, Russell Young, and Sajid DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please visit our website at azpodcast.com.
Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 294, being recorded on the 28th of August, 2019, with special guest Shalu Garg. I'm Sujit, and on Teams with me, I have Cynthia, Evan, and of course, our special guest, Shalu. And before we get to her on our interesting topic, which I don't think we've covered on the show before, but before we get to that, Evan's got a round of updates that we want to talk about. Evan?
Sure. Yeah, so the first couple, there's some new releases for storage APIs. And these are kind of cool because one of them, and it took me a minute to think about this, why this is useful. But once you realize it's super useful. But one, we've added some that allow you to do server-side transfer with some of your put calls, right? So rather than pulling it down to you and then putting it to another container, right, you can kick that off automatically on some of your put blocks. We've also added the ability to do synchronous data transfer, right? And that feels like a kind of an oxymoron in the cloud world where everything is async and distributed. But in this case, let's say you're copying, you know, a blob from one container to another, and then you want to do something after that copy is finished. Today, or prior to this with the async, you had to just keep checking and say, is it done? Now your client-side API is just going to wait. And then also we've added some APIs around copying in and out of Azure, right? So it's just a URL from a data source. So if you're writing to somewhere outside of Azure that's addressable by URL, now you should be able to use that as well.
Evan, this sounds like what we used to have in the AZ copy utility, right? What was that?
It does, yeah. I mean, this feels a little bit like we've kind of learned, you know, that people like the capabilities mm-hmm. and figured out how to roll and then rolled them into true APIs yep. rather than, you know, some amalgamation of other calls. Yeah, absolutely. The other one is we've now, and this is kind of neat because I come from the on-premises SQL world and then moved to the Azure world, but we now have, if you go... We've released a SQL Server resource provider in Azure. So if you have a VM running SQL Server in Azure deployed with the new images, and you can also backport this to your existing images. Now, when you go into like the portal, the way you used to manage your SQL Azure VMs, right, your SQL databases and the servers associated with those, now your SQL Server VMs will show up in that same way. Right. So you have this kind of single pane of glass where, you know, from a UI perspective and from a flow perspective, you don't really know or care whether it's a VM, whether it's a managed instance, whether it's, you know, a SQL database. Doesn't really matter. They all kind of show up the same way, which is great.
So somehow the fact that the VM happens to be running SQL Server is bubbled up to the portal.
That's what the resource provider does right now. Right. Now SQL Server is kind of a first class one, just like compute resource provider, network resource provider, those kind of things. Really cool. This actually has some really big potential down the road as we do things like, you know, maybe we do health checks on your VM, right? On your SQL Server instance running your VM, and we can do the same health checks we could do with SQL Database, right? All that kind of stuff allows it to be
The security center integration, et cetera,
can be all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it just makes life a lot easier because it's one RP regardless. So you'll see more and more stuff like this. And then the last thing, and so sorry, Kale's not here today, but apparently the blockchain team has updated their SDK, their development kit, and now they have an interactive debugger. So blockchain gets even easier, and I'm sure there's next time Kale's on, he'll fill in all the nitty gritty stuff. But that's a great step forward. Debugging is hard without interactivity.
Yeah, and I think Kale tweeted about it just yesterday, so I remember reading. He's, of course, on top of it.
It would have been nice to scoop him, right?
Yeah, he's ahead of this. We need to get an update from him on how TruffleCon went as well. I know he was very gung-ho about that. That's great, Dev. And so is that a good roundup of the news for this week?
That slow week for some odd reason, but yeah, that's it.
I guess it's that time of the year in the United States, you know, getting close to Labor Day. We'll get to our guest right now, I want to let Cynthia go first because she is the one who brought our guest into the show. So Cynthia, why don't you lead our guest to introduce herself?
Yeah, for sure. So it's interesting because I actually met Shalu at one of our Reactor offices, which Shalu probably will talk more to what they are at a Create event, which is targeted for startups. And I got to have a short conversation with her, tell her about a little bit about our podcast, and really excited that she's agreed to come on. And today we're really just talking to her and learning more about what that means. So Shalu, go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us what you do.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. As Cynthia said, my name is Shalu Garg, and I'm the managing director here at Silicon Valley Southwest at Microsoft for Startups. I am responsible for startup business growth here and also engage with growth stage startups globally who are Series C and beyond, helping them accelerate their business growth. In tandem, I'm also closely observing and studying the social impact startup space, you know, the tech for good space and how we can provide values to the founders here. So really excited to be here.
And Shalu, so how did this whole movement for startups, you know, come about in Microsoft? Like what caused us to focus on startups?
Yeah, I mean, being a corporate, it's always been out there in terms of how are large corporates working with startups, right? And when I talk about corporates, we can look at two tangential angles. One is, let's say, a Fortune 100 company. The other is a tech cloud provider. And so within Microsoft, a couple of years ago, what we did was we invested not only just dollars, but also resources in terms of how do we look at the startup space and not just show up with technology, which is Azure platform, but really show up in a meaningful way for startups, which is how do we provide value to the growth of startups business. And that's how Microsoft for Startups have been evolving. We have been in business for quite a few years, but I think in the last couple of years, we have seen phenomenal growth in terms of just getting more and more startups and having the opportunity to work with them and help them succeed.
So some of the customers I work with come from a startup background, and a lot of things that I see is that once they've decided on, say, a cloud provider or a specific platform, they usually stick with it even when they expand and become enterprise grade, enterprise scale. What are some tools that we provide for startups? For example, if I'm a startup, like, what are some things or some help I can expect from Microsoft for Startup to help me make a lot of both the technical decisions or the business decisions?
Yeah, no, great question. So, you know, I always tell this to founders, and on a daily basis, we meet with founders almost like every hour or every 2 hours on an average, right? And we always say this, that look at Microsoft for Startups as being a unique program designed to help founders be successful in developing true business partnership with Microsoft. So again, you know, I keep re-emphasizing on the fact that it's the dialogue is just not about technology, but also growing business channels, markets, and customers. And so to that end, we work with startups around the world, providing startups with free access to Microsoft Cloud Technologies, which is our Azure platform, enterprise-grade technical support, powerful development tools, et cetera. In addition, we also provide dedicated resources to accelerate startups' growth through opportunities to sell via a vast partner ecosystem along with Microsoft sellers. And it's a great place to be at to expand startups' sales pipeline by selling through our partners. And that's sort of at the end of the day, is the value add that we provide to the startups there.
So what is the, you know, I've heard this thing about our commercial marketplace. How do startups get into that marketplace?
Yeah, so let's accept it, right? The number one goal of any startup is customer acquisition, since it directly impacts the bottom line. No matter what stage you're at, even if you're at a seed stage or Series A, E, getting ready for your IPO, a healthy customer pipe is any startup's holy grail. So a stable and reliable technology infrastructure that supports that goal, not only for the startup, but for their customers is absolutely mandatory. So at Microsoft, we take immense pride in providing the commercial marketplace to our startups for three reasons. Number one is, you know, if I was to draw a visual for you, think of commercial marketplace as a stop station where Microsoft customers, partners, and channel resellers are housed. Best in analogy would be you have an online web presence with two storefronts. One is Microsoft AppSource, the other is Azure Marketplace. And buyers are stopping by and transacting. Only this time it is millions of Microsoft customers, partners, and resellers. And in the grand scheme of things, think of how powerful that is for a startup, let's say sitting in a small town on the verge of raising their next round of funding. And they're transacting sitting out of their garage. I mean, that is extremely powerful. Number two is over the last many years, we have continuously improved the marketplace functionality based on customer and partner feedback. And the number one feedback we have heard consistently is simplicity. So last year, we added some really cool features like monthly and annual SaaS billing, flexible custom metered pricing options, free SaaS trials, and that convert to paid engagements, et cetera. The beauty of this is as a startup scales, the transactions through the marketplace scales with the growth. How awesome is that? And then last is, which is my personal favorite, is, you know, I always encourage this when I talk to the founders there and the CTOs and the CIOs of startups, I always say that look at commercial marketplace as a proof point to showcase to your potential customers that your solution is rock solid and growing. We have a pretty stringent process to ensure that we are onboarding the right startups on based on specific criteria. And if you've made it this far, you're in it for a long run. Bringing your potential customers to this marketplace and showcasing them that, look, here is my product on Microsoft Marketplace. And that's the power that it holds. And that's a pretty strong baseline for corporate innovation and customer acquisition as well.
So, Shalu, this is Evan. So, and this may be a dumb question because ultimately the reason that we Microsoft are doing this, right, is because it drives our business as well. But, you know, do we require customers to be, you know, wholly Microsoft, or if somebody has a solution that's, you know, maybe it runs on AWS and it runs on Azure? Is that okay for startups that we're working with? What are kind of the technical requirements?
Yeah, so Evan, definitely not a dumb question. And we get this question all the time. And the answer is absolutely not. We do recognize that startups have choices. We respect that, right? And we all do, no matter which market segment we are in. But the key is to pick a choice that helps you succeed. And so usually when I talk to the startups out there, here are the three reasons that I give to be with Microsoft for startups. And at the end of the day, the choice is really theirs. But number one is we provide foundational blocks for startups to be successful, from onboarding concierge desk to Microsoft commercial marketplace, which I just talked about, to co-sell opportunities, which the industry term is corporate innovation. I mean, we have a pretty rock solid value proposition out there. Number two is we are extremely founder focused. So we have a global team with a strong passion to help founders be successful. And on a daily basis, we continue to challenge ourselves on how can we do better for founders, right? And so usually one of the things that we do is, hey, if I'm a founder and if this is my business problem, how would I look at it? And so that is extremely very, very precious to us. And number three is engagement with the community. And again, you know, this is something that I'm absolutely jazzed about, which is just being in touch with reality out there. And it also gives an opportunity for our startups to engage with the community and the partner ecosystem that we have established there. Because guess what? Ultimately, we take our startups out to engage with the community. And that community, by the way, comprises of venture capitalists, private equity firms, customers. It's a combination of everyone that sits in that community. And so we take extreme pride as far as these value propositions are concerned.
So it's really about doing everything we can to make these founders, these companies successful, kind of knowing that at the end of the day, it does benefit us, but the driver is to make them successful, right? And what they choose, you know, what any one choice they make in terms of what service, what product, that's kind of immaterial to the big picture, but it's about making them successful overall.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's great.
But Yeah, I'd like to kind of drill into more of the Azure component of this, right? Because this is the Azure podcast, I want to just focus on a little bit on that. I've heard this from startups before, is that it's sometimes challenging for them to find their way around, you know, which Azure service to use, or, you know, is there somebody or some team that will help me architect my solution? As you mentioned, you know, they want to put out a rock solid solution. What makes it rock solid? How do we help them get there?
Yeah, so great question, Sujit. And, you know, it's, again, I keep saying this, that be in the shoes of a founder, right? Or a CIO or a CTO, and think about it that, you know, I need help. Here I am. I have been onboarded as part of a really great program. Now I want to make sure that I'm successful and I scale well. And so to that end, we have onboarding teams internally who are very well trained on the Azure solution. They hold hands with the startup team initially to make sure that the transition is as smooth as possible, answer any questions that they may have. Also do architectural mapping. Like, there are a lot of questions, a lot of times we get these questions that, hey, I'm running XYZ solution on a different platform and I want to move to Azure, but I don't know what that comparison may be or a comparative solution may be. Can you please help me understand? And that's where the team comes in handy. The other point that I want to make is, you know, when we talk about Azure platform, it's not just about technology. It is also understanding the business value that Azure brings to startups, which is phenomenal, right? And so think about a startup scaling from seed to series A. It's a big jump. And so that's where we talk about that, hey, how can the Azure technology help you grow? And we look for solutions that help us co-develop with our startups, right? And that's where the business angle comes in. So it's no longer about, hey, I'm building my solution on Azure, but then the conversation changes, which is I'm building my solution on Azure and I'm selling it to my customers and utilizing that to acquire even more broader set of customers out there.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I mean, once they get this help to get on Azure, then what do we do to offer them production support and whatnot after that? Is that something that they have to, is kind of part of the startup initiative, or is that a separate thing that they have to purchase after the fact?
No, so we do help, as I mentioned, in terms of architectural mapping. Of course, you know, the conversation can go tangentially on any angle. But of course, at the end of the day, they are part of our portfolio and we are responsible for their success. So if there is any question that they have or in terms of, hey, where do I go from point A to point B, or I'm pretty comfortable at this point, I want to know what else can I do on Azure, then of course, we have teams here that fully support that.
Yeah, actually, Sujit, depending on the class of problem, some of those actually come to some of the folks on my team.
I was just going to say,
we actually there's a couple engineers on my team that do that work with them, and they do great work, right? I mean, they're treated just like any other customer, right? They're trying to figure out the problem and help them. Actually, I think maybe we'll have to come up with some sort of prize for the first person that says, hey, I was a startup, I found out about the program from the podcast, and then I needed help, and then I ended up with the CXP, and I ended up talking to Evan. Like, we have to have some prize.
I'll be working hard on that.
We need to create, like, a little link or a DL for people to submit, like, entries for it.
Totally.
That would be a nice circle at that point. You know, what's nice to you know, kind of in all seriousness, right, they really get, you know, they have direct through my team. They have direct access if necessary. They don't always need it, right? A lot of times they get what they need from the support team. But if they are running into something that, hey, we do need the engineering team there, the engineering team, the component teams are right there to step in and help, right? Just like we would for any other customer scenario that comes across that we need the engineering team. So it's, you know, it's from a support side, we really are targeting something that really helps them overcome their problems as fast as possible.
Okay.
I have to say, having worked with Evan, his team is pretty amazing.
I agree.
Thank you. It's a good team that our leadership has managed to put together. It's a lot of fun to work on this stuff.
So Shalu, how do startups apply for this program? Is there some sort of a process to get them onboarded? Like, what's the first step for them to take?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can visit startups.microsoft.com. It's a pretty comprehensive website. We've got, you know, tons of information up there. Go ahead and apply there. It's a pretty straightforward form. I usually advise the founders or the startups that I work with is be as thorough as possible. It's, you know, we try to make it as painless as possible, but at the same time, we also want to make sure that we are making the right decision. If we have any questions, we do reach out as follow-up. From there on, we start the onboarding process if the startup is selected, and that pretty much kicks off the granting of free Azure Cloud credits and other goodies that I talked about earlier. And it just kicks off the process. And from there, you know, we start interacting more and more with the startup, getting to understand what their business challenges are and how we can help them scale.
That's awesome. Are there like some use cases that you can think of that, you know, names that we might recognize that have been through this program?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I got to tell you, Sujit, this is the best part of my job. And I love this, which is just figuring out interesting startups out there and making them, you know, what I call celebrities, right? It drives me every single day at my work here. So just to name a few that come to mind. Number one is there's a startup called Throughput.ai. It's a Palo Alto-based startup, and one of the startups that got its first break thanks to Azure and BI. I've actually known the team for the last couple of years. Pretty phenomenal, rock solid team. And they have just completely dedicated themselves to eliminating bottlenecks from the world's biggest canals to supply chains. They also do this for sake of freeing up trillions of dollars of financial resources to enable economic development, primarily demonstrating how the power of Azure Cloud can enable great cause at unbelievable scale. And very exciting use case, not only from a commercial angle, but also from tech for good angle. The other one is Ascend.io, and that's another startup based out of Silicon Valley. What they're doing is primarily putting together an autonomous data flow service, which automates development and maintenance of large-scale data pipelines. It enables pipeline creation with 85% less code with zero maintenance burden. In fact, they just completed their Series A round, and they've been overwhelmed with just how much attention they have got in the market. The beauty of Ascend's solution is that their customers have the option of fully managed SaaS or private deployments, and all the development is fully portable across cloud. So think about multi-cloud strategy. So I'm super excited about this one as well, because what it does is it really allows us not only to work or provide value to Ascend, but also the customer portfolio.
Awesome. Those are some good names. Thank you. You know, if you have any resources that we can share along with the podcast recording, just send them over to me, and we'll put those links in there so that our listeners have that as ready reference. And we'll be, it's great to have you on the show, Shalu. Is there any more questions we have for her before we let her go?
No, this was great. I have to confess, even as someone who helps with the program, I didn't understand kind of some of the scope and some of what it does. So it was great. Thanks, Shalu.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.